Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We went to a Sydney game Thursday night. There's a young man that comes to this church, and he was shooting the ball at the end of the game, and it was tied. And there's like a few seconds left. And the ball from a three points goes in. And right after it went through the net, the buzzer rang. So they won the game. It was just cool. I'm talking about Sydney here, local. We need to support our local team sometimes, right? I like young basketball players because they're not getting paid. They're just out there with grit and fighting to, do their best. I love that. I like competition, watching that. Sometimes it's a lot like your spiritual battle. You got to fight. You got to fight in this thing, right? There's a whole lot out there against us, but you got to understand. But where there, if you're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is, you got a king. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. Say that with me, you people who go to church. Where there's no kingdom, there's no king. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. Say that. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. You got to have the king. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And that's so important. We got to understand this idea of a king and how this kingdom works. So we're going to be discussing that after these baptisms. I want to read this scripture because it's significant. See, baptism is really the first act of obedience after you come to Christ. You get saved. So, one of the thieves on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, remember, he didn't have time to be baptized. But Jesus said he'll be in heaven. So he didn't have time to go get baptized. So baptism is an act of obedience. You see that? And if you're not on the cross getting ready to take your last breath, you need to be baptized. Making sense? You need to be baptized. It's the first act of obedience in the kingdom. So here's the idea. if you're always putting it off and off, it's going to reflect in your life in a whole lot of other ways because you didn't obey that first act of identifying with Christ. Make sense? That's huge, right? I just said right there. Okay. So now, let's look at this. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, he says. Because you see, when you get saved, all your sins, past, present, future, are washed away. You got a whole new sheet. It's like getting a white sheet. All your sins are done. It's like starting your whole life over. And so now you begin to live your life for Christ. Now, I want to help you understand some things. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we actually died to sin. So in other words, you don't practice sinning anymore. If you know there's sin in your life, you're going to repent and confess it and continue. And see, when you understand and it's your relationship with God, yet that's severed if you don't do something with your sin. You see that? If you don't confess it and get back into that fellowship with God, you see that? Sin breaks your fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven, but you're going to live like hell here. Now, that's significant. We've got to understand that now. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's what this is saying. Therefore, we were buried. We were buried with him through baptism into death. See, that's one of the principles we're going to cover starting in February, is the principle of the doctrine of baptisms. We're going to talk about baptisms and judgment and the white throne judgment. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that shows you that you have eternal life. But if it's not in there, you don't make it. See, we're talking about the second advent now. There's a lake of fire, the hell. There is a hell. And I'm not up here trying to show you what the gospel is. And we believe the gospel. That's what this church, we're believing the gospel. We're advancing God's kingdom here. And that's what we're out to do. You see that? Watch. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk newness of life. You see, when you're baptized, you go down in the water. That represents when Jesus was buried. He died on the cross, and now he's going down under the water. That means you're being buried with Christ. And then when you come back up, that's the resurrection. You're being resurrected into the new life. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, you are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus." You see that? You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now you're living in the new creation. That new creation is going to last forever. And you start living in it now. You see that? And that's why when you really understand this, you want to be in church where God's people are. And you want to grow and you want to mature. You want to be a disciple. The word disciple means learner. Learner. When you stop learning, you stop being a disciple. I want you to look at me. When you stop learning, you stop being a disciple. So that's the idea. It's a lifelong learning, following Christ, Jesus. He's the only one. One Lord. One Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. And it talks about in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, but God has sent his son Jesus to give us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his son Jesus. For this is the true God and eternal life. Amen. You see that? Eternal life is the new creation. That's one day the whole earth is going to be, we're going to be ruling on earth with Jesus. You see that? That says it in the Bible. And we believe the Bible. Amen? Amen. So, that's why we're doing these baptisms today. This is all part of the way what the Bible teaches. Now, I want to read one more because I want you to hear this. This is in Matthew's gospel. And this is what it says. Jesus said this. This is Jesus talking. All, Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. You see, we're not just making converts. We want to make disciples. Learners. See, learners. That's why we teach and preach. Now watch. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. This age is going to end. But there's a new creation going to take over one day. Yeah. Are you listening to me? And that's going to be his church, his people. And so, that's why this here, all of courtroom of heaven is in session. Yeah. There's a courtroom in heaven. God is looking down on little Russell Road Church here in Sydney, Ohio right now. I'll bet he's smiling. Amen. Think about this. Because, you see, this is a reality. You know, God calls you, and you know what? People know when God's calling them. God is calling you. And when he calls you, he shows you things that you need to work on in your life. And that's part of it. It's okay to have things to work. You're a learner. You're going to keep learning and growing. See? You have the rest of your life to learn. And it makes life full and worthwhile. And you have meaning in life. Now, did you hear what it said? All authority has been given to Jesus, right? So that's significant. Because the word kingdom means government authority. Government authority. So, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I gotta say this. The word righteousness isn't a religious term. People think, well, he's talking religious now. No. Righteousness is used in our court system on a regular basis. Righteousness. Righteousness is a legal term. See that? Righteousness means to be in legal authority and government. In other words, you have to get into the kingdom legally. Did you hear that? You have to get in, you have to access this kingdom legally. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You become righteous when you get saved. Now you're in a position to tap into the kingdom. But now you got to grow and mature so you're not unskilled in the word of righteousness. So you got to grow and mature. And now as you grow and mature, you legally tap into the kingdom and he releases his presence on your life. Yeah. You see that? And in his presence is the fullness of joy. Now watch this. So now think about it. Marriage, God created marriage. So marriage, you got all these people trying to do marriage, and they're not even thinking about doing it God's way. They're doing it illegally. Did you catch that? They're arguing and strife, and some of you came to church arguing and fighting on the way to church today. That's illegal. Doesn't that make sense? So now if I do it legally, God's presence and power is released for your protection and direction in life. Are you listening to me? That's what it is. That's so significant. As a pastor, I'm just have that on me to make that clear. So we're going to get started. All right. Go ahead and sit down, Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I don't need a nod. I need to hear you. Huh?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. See, Christianity starts with confession. Jesus said, if you won't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Confession is huge in the kingdom. When you don't understand that, well, you run around saying a bunch of things that get you in trouble. Oh, he's preaching now. That's right. I tell you, I get emotional. There's so much after our young people. You hear me? God is after you. If you get in his presence, you'll get a hold of him. All right. Let's see. What are we going to do now? So let's give everybody a hand. Those who got baptized. This is exciting, isn't it? All right. Now, let's Let's go, Christina. We're going to go to our foundational verse that we've been looking at in Matthew 6:33. This is the verse we've been looking at since the first of the year. And we've been talking about living out of the kingdom, but now we're talking about priorities and getting our priorities in order. And we've been talking about this. So, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right. That is the truth. We're not supposed to worry. You know, worry is sin. Negative meditation. That's what worry is. See, worry is because you don't trust in God. See, when we trust God, he removes the worry. Because he's going to take care of you. You see that? We've been talking about this kingdom. And I want to try to help people see and begin to understand this kingdom. Jesus told a very religious ruler, Nicodemus. He was extremely, he taught even, he was a scribe even. He taught and was supposed to know so much about the Bible. But now he comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You're going to have to be born again to see the kingdom. Amen. In John chapter 3. That's where you find that. The little word see, it means understand. When you're born again, that means you're born again spiritually. You've invited Christ into your heart and you're following him. You become a child of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, I think it is, verse 14, 15, it talks about, unless you can't understand the things of the Spirit without the Spirit. You can't discern. So when you're born again, you can begin to understand the things of the Spirit. You see that? And the Bible teaches understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. If you don't have understanding, you'll always be trying to do your own thing. And so that's why in a kingdom, you need a king. Because he's going to help you understand. Remember, where there's no king, there's no kingdom. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. Did you say that already? Say it again. There's no kingdom. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. Say it like that. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. See? Because when you understand I have a king, a people in a kingdom understand the king, his word is for them. And everything he says and declares over them, that's the way it's going to be for them. And that's what we're trying to help you understand. And that's what the Bible teaches. So, seek first the kingdom. All right. Now, this word seek means to crave, to pursue. It's like you're pursuing this. You have to go after this. It's not something that just happens. It's not just something that falls on your life. You have to pursue this. When you pursue something, you give it all, your all. Pursue it. Pursue this kingdom. Now look. What exactly is a kingdom? A kingdom, listen, a kingdom is the government of a king. A kingdom is the sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his purpose, manifesting a culture. A culture. See, it talks about when God created Adam and Eve, remember? And in Genesis 1:26, it says that they will have dominion. That word dominion is the word kingdom. So when Adam and Eve fell, they didn't just fall from grace, they fell out of the kingdom of heaven under his rule and under his sovereign authority. They fell out of that because they disobeyed him. Makes sense? God gave them authority at the beginning to rule over the fish, the birds, the land, all that. Not people. Not people. So kingdom, people don't rule over people. That's why you hate to be controlled. Everybody, nobody likes to be controlled. But you see, that's why God gave you a free will. He wants you to serve him because you love him. And you want to please him. You see that? That's the good news of the gospel. He's not going to force you to do into anything. Making sense? So this kingdom is something you do because you want to. And you begin to understand. Now look, and it manifests a culture. We're always sowing seed in a culture. And it's being cultivated. And it produces fruit. It produces a harvest. And that's what happens in a kingdom. There's a harvest of what's being sown in. That's why when you are in strife and disagreement, you're going to have the wrong fruit in your life, the wrong harvest, because you're doing it illegally. You see that? You'll have misery. But in a kingdom, when you do it his way, you have righteousness, peace, and joy right in the kingdom. Amen. Right up under your roof, you can have paradise. You have a marriage, two people sowing into this kingdom, you have a paradise. Because you're serving her and she's serving you. And you're doing it legally. Well, I don't have to pick up his shoes and I didn't say you did. But you see, when you start serving him or her, you're actually serving Jesus. That's called submission. That's one of the big things in a kingdom. You got to put him first. And when you serve your spouse, you're not just putting them first, you're putting God first. And when you, that engages heaven over your life. You hear me? That's why I have people, I say, husbands, you ought to be opening the doors for your wife. Car doors. Run out there and open it for them. And be glad to do it. Here's the one. And even when you don't want to do it anyways. Right. Because see, when you don't want to do it, you're illegally, in your mind, you come up with some kind of, well, she didn't do this for me. She didn't do. It's not about what she did or didn't do. Who's the king? Huh? Who's the king? Right. In Judges, it says they did what was right in their own eyes because they had no king. You see, if you're doing what's right in your own eyes, it's illegal. Not just here on earth, but in heaven. You got to understand that. Because see, people wonder, why? Why doesn't this work? You're going about it illegally. This is significant. Now watch. And his purpose, manifesting a culture, a society reflecting the king's nature, values, and morals. You see that? Now, a kingdom is the governing impact of a king's will over territory or domain, his influence over people. Influence over people. And government led by a king. Now, when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, Pontius Pilate was a Roman governor over the province of Judea. And he falsely accused Jesus of blasphemy because of everything he heard. He heard that Jesus said he was a king. He, you know what he was intimidated because he was a ruler. He says, who's this guy think he is? A king. Do you see that? So you see, he was intimidated by what Jesus was saying. Now look, so they wrongfully and illegally arrested him. You know why it was illegal? Because he was telling the truth. Do you hear me? And he was tapping into the kingdom legally. And because of that, his legal access, we all can get in. Amen. You see that? It says, by one man's disobedience, that was Adam's disobedience, many became sinners. But by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Hallelujah. The obedience of Jesus made it possible for us to be righteous. Same way in your life. When you disobey God sometimes, you can cause people to stay in their sin. But when you obey God, you can cause people to come out of their sin and begin in the new creation. Are you listening to me? Now watch this. Oh gosh, I got so much. So now, the authorities of the Jewish religions were running this ship. And that's why, you know, he was out there. He was Pilate. And Pilate had heard the accusations that Jesus claimed to be a king. Let's go to the scripture in John 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Don't you like Jesus? I like Jesus. You know what? If people talk about you, let them talk. You see that? When you're in relationships, healthy relationships with people, your wife, your husband, and in the church, people can talk about you till they're blue in the face. That's why it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Listen, he says you'll condemn what people say about you. If it's not true, you condemn it. The word condemn means forfeit. You forfeit everything they've said about you. How? You keep serving the Lord. You keep serving, and his righteousness is protecting you. You hear me? Are you hearing me? Now watch. Did others tell you this concerning me? See, others, you know, they're going to talk about you. You think they talk about me? Oh, yeah. Let's go to this next one. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests had delivered you to me. You know, all the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the whole hee-haw gang. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it feels like everybody's against you. But when you know you're king, no matter what, you're going to be all right.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.